Three, two, one. Hello. Welcome, everybody, to the Yogi Show. We have Dr. David Snyder. I would go through all your credentials, but like I would have to take the biggest gulp of air and probably that would be the end of the show if I just went through all your credentials, David. Be like 45 minutes.
Hey, it's like a CVS. It's like a CVS receipt, man. Thing goes on forever. Thanks for coming, David.
And, yeah. I'm gonna do what Scott Stanley, my good friend Scott Stanley used to say. I'm a guy who knows some stuff.
I would say that for a lot of stuff. A whole lot, man. This is Brian. Everybody, Brian talks about David Snyder all the time on the show, and we are so excited that he's here today for round two of coming together to connect once again. So this is really awesome. So thanks, David, for carving out the time on your busy schedule to be here.
So good to be here. I really enjoyed Brian. Brian's been in a bunch of my classes. I've always loved the podcast. I missed you, Pedro. You know, I haven't seen you in like forever since we did the manifestation podcast, I think it was.
Yeah, man.
So I'm told people really like that. So I'm glad to be back.
It was great.
It did.
I vividly remember we were doing the color. I think it was the color meditation. I don't remember exactly the magic frame. We were doing magic frame. And I was like going into the cosmos, and you're like, whoa, you got to come back. You got to come back. You're like waving me back in, like the guy at the airplane at the airport.
It happens sometimes.
So yeah, man, this is awesome. Brian, how you doing today? Brian, are you in a new place? Where are you at, man?
New place. Yep. New place. Lighting's good. Yeah. Feeling good. And this Friday I'm going to Las Vegas and doing the Golden Path training with Dave. My fourth training this year, in-person training. So yes. I'm all about it. Golden Path, finding the mission.
Yeah. And you know, we were talking about this before. Let's get into that in a second. We were talking about this before we went on air about the Golden Path and kind of what that was. And I came in right as we were kind of like hitting on it when I logged into the Zoom, everybody. And I wanted to ask David this question about like everybody's path kind of changed during the pandemic. Things happened, things changed. People lost their job. People started new businesses, all sorts of things. And David, I want you to talk about how we're on this planet for whatever small amount of time that we actually get. And that some people, I know me personally, I can speak from a personal experience. Like I'm a yoga teacher. And like, that's where it was. And then I've realized very recently, like, wait, I'm so much more than just this yoga teacher, this little bucket I put myself in. And now I'm trying to expand that, you know, into other things. And so can you talk about that, like the golden path and how like, hey, it's not just one thing. Like there's so many things that you can be doing. And it's not just, you're not just your business.
Absolutely. One of the things that a lot, you know, I mentioned this to Brian earlier. I'll mention it again. If I had a dollar for everybody who sat in like chair saying, I know I'm going to do something in this world. If I just could tell, someone could tell me what it was, you know, and we're all, you know, we're all in that quandary because we're indoctrinated from the time we're knee-high to a grasshopper to, you know, be a teacher, be a doctor, be a lawyer, get a job. What do you want to be when you grow up? And most of us don't fucking know, right? Like it changes like the weather. And so, you know, we have these, you know, these strength finders and these aptitude tests and all these things that tell us what we are good at or are potentially good at, but they don't take into account what feeds your spirit. What causes your spirit to become more embodied? Isn't that what the basis of yoga is? To connect with the divine, to bring more of that Atman. I think it's Atman, right? That comes through, right? And so whether you're doing this from a Vedic perspective, a Taoist perspective, a Western alchemical perspective, the idea behind alchemy, the idea behind these transformations is to become that spiritual being that you were before you took on a body, in a body, if that makes any kind of sense. And so the Chinese had a concept called Ming. Ming means means destiny or mandate from heaven. And they say that each and every spiritual being, every incarnated being has a mission to fulfill in this life that leads simultaneously to the raising of everyone as a whole, but also the best version of themselves. It gives them the greatest degree of spiritual fulfillment, physical and mental and emotional fulfillment and growth. And the problem is a lot of people come into my chair or they come into a class and they're like, okay, what job should I get on? A golden path isn't about a job. A golden path is about a life direction that gives you the greatest degree of fulfillment, brings the maximum amount of your skills and talents and abilities and life experience together. integrated into a synergistic whole that moves you forward through life. And the idea behind, you know, like I am a yoga teacher, you know, borrowing a concept from NLP, we have this thing we call the hierarchy of beliefs. And one of the two highest levels on that pyramid are the spiritual level and the identity level. And one of the things that happens is the beliefs we hold at these two levels, and there's like four or five levels below that, but all the levels at the apex of this belief pyramid control everything below it. So when we start working on a golden path, we're working at the absolute highest level of our being, or our beingness, for lack of a better word. And nothing is wasted on your golden path. Every fucked up thing you ever did, right? Every amazing thing you've accomplished, every job you lasted an hour on, every job you lasted 20 years on, every class you took in school, whether you passed or failed it, all of these things take on different meanings, and they teach us something about us that we couldn't have learned any other way. And part of the golden path is to, in the process of golden path, is to audit your life from the time you were born and to look at various stages of your life, look at the activities that brought more spirit into your body. And there's very specific ways that you can tell when more of your Shen, as the Chinese call it, or your spirit is in your body. The light behind the eyes gets brighter. The light under the skin gets brighter. And sometimes even your teeth, if you don't drink as much coffee as I do, will actually have a little bit more brightness to them, right? But one of the things that we have to do is we have to audit that, the life, and get us back to what the Chinese call your original face. The original face is the spiritual being that you were before you took on a body. And the Chinese believe that you were never closer to your spiritual face than the time between 0 and 3 years of age. And so our goal long-term, as we in this incarnation, is to get back to our original face, to reclaim our original face, which means going through an alchemical process that leads us back to the beginning, right? But from a more enlightened perspective, if that makes any kind of sense, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of the experiences that we've had, all the things that we have worked for us, have worked against us, they're all there to teach us something. And as we find out how these things fit together, and we target the activities and the people that bring, that cause more of our spirit to embody, we will simultaneously live longer, we will get younger, we will be more successful. The universe will conspire to make us be here longer to fulfill that mission. And so the idea is, once we understand this life mission, this life direction, we're going to evolve naturally to the highest level, or the highest best version of ourselves. And we're in that process of being purely selfish, for lack of a better word, we actually become more selfless, because everything we do radiates more energy and light into the world and uplifts the world as a whole.
Dude.
Yes.
My heart.
Yes. I was just thinking my beard's in jeopardy now. So after this class, if I'm going to come back with baby face. I'm a little nervous about that. A little nervous about that.
You got some babyish going. You got some babiness going on here already.
David, it's so on point. I reflect on as a yoga instructor, right? So I never would have found yoga if my ex-wife didn't get into yoga, and then I didn't like say, hey, I'm having anxiety and panic attacks. Like, she says yoga's good. Like, then I'll go with that. And so I tried that. And so like all these things, like, and I, as you were saying these things, like reflecting on all the way from childhood, like the building blocks that led to me, like what triggered me, Dave? I was thinking about, man, that time I fucking failed algebra like 3 damn times in college. Like, I thought about that. And then I was like, well, what did I learn from that? You know? And I'm sure that there's all these different things along the way. Yeah. And I'm reflecting on, like, oh shit, man. Like, this is all part of the journey.
Yeah. Math is not in my golden path. Calculus.
I either. Don't even get me started on math right now. My world is revolving around math because my beautiful daughter, Cassie, 11 years old, inherited my math gene, or lack thereof. And you're looking at a guy who does hypnosis because he can't do algebra.
I relate.
I literally got this all through high school, all through college. All right. I struggled to get a C in any math class I was in.
Right here. Same thing.
I spent literally, like when I was an undergrad, I literally spent thousands of dollars on tutors to get a B in algebra. All right. Ooh. I mean, But there's a reason that, you know, and so I keep having to go back and I'm looking at it with my daughter. I'm looking, you know, and I'm looking at, cause my wife is like the human fucking calculator.
Like, I just got my iPhone.
Right. But even the math they're doing nowadays, it doesn't even look like math. It looks like some kind of computer algorithm it doesn't even look like the algebra, because there's so many different maths now. But anyway, don't get me started on this, but it's interesting that you mentioned that, because it's like serendipity. Like, Brian's got the math gene, you've got the math gene, you know, and I think there's something, I think there's a bigger picture there. There's something meta about this whole idea that we're talking about math now. That we need to just, you know, in our own ways, in our own time, to say, well, wait a minute, what is this really teaching us? You know, we know the importance of this particular subject, and yet we became amazing in our own right without it.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, let's just go down the path. We're on this path for a second. So let's just talk about this, because David might just pull some shit out of my face. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, I never quit anything in my life. I never quit shit ever. Right. And then I couldn't pass that math class. And that was the requirement to get into the undergrad program. I was in like everyone's shaking their head. Like, yeah, we all know the
same shit. I did the same shit. I couldn't get past calculus in college. I was like fucking changing my major. Like, not happening.
Okay, same shit, Brian. Say, I had no idea that happened to you, Brian. That's so funny you're saying this, because the same shit happened to me. And what I realized, I was going to college, y'all. I was going to college because my dad told me I should go to college. I wouldn't know what I wanted to do, and so I was like, oh, I'm going to, you know, the community college. And then I got to the last two class, I couldn't pass. With stats and business calc, couldn't do it. And so I went to go to university, and I was like, well, let me see if they'll let me into this business program anyway somehow. I go there, they're like, well, if you pass these two math classes, you can come here. And I was like, well, I'm having trouble. Like, well, you have two options. You can either pass them at your college, community college, or you can come here and take some other random classes for like $10,000 and then try to do those here. Those are your choices. And then I literally got in the car from the orientation. I looked at my mom and I was like, look, this just isn't for me. Like, this is just isn't for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm banging my head against the wall for doing something that I don't even really want to be doing anyway. And so I quit. And that's the only thing I can think of that honestly ever I quit in my life, was like, I quit that school. I just said, you know, this is not for me. And then that was it. I never thought about it again until right now.
Totally understandable, man.
When you look back on it, Pedro, what's your takeaway? What do you think what good thing can you derive from that?
I learned that I was for myself, like, I didn't really want to go to school anyway. I didn't think I needed it. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to step away from it. That was what I learned. The other part of it was, I felt like I let my dad down. I felt like I let him down, because he wanted, like, I was going for him. And then, but he's still proud of me now. And I didn't go to the school, you know, I didn't get the job at a pharmaceutical sales rep. Like, fuck that job anyway, you know?
Yeah. David, read his face. See if there's still some daddy issues on his face.
Oh yeah.
He says, "Oh yeah."
I want to share something with you that Lillian shared with me, and since we're revolving around life missions and things like that, at least for now, here's one of the things that came out of her mouth that just fucking blew me away, and it encompassed everything we've just talked about. Many times, a person's golden path, their spiritual direction, is at odds with society. It's at odds with what your family wants for you. It's at odds with every single system that's established. And so part of your golden path is discovering you, not for anybody else, but you. And Lillian often talked about how we're all on this river going in the same direction, and we're all in our own little kayak, but we don't have any paddles. And there's only one person that can fit in each kayak. And so sometimes we come together and, you know, our kayaks are floating side by side, and then the river takes us off in some different direction. And, you know, you can always find ways to navigate the river, but the river is going to keep flowing and it's going to keep moving. And there are certain things in your life that you can do things about, like certain things that you're destined to experience that you can do things about. Absolutely. That's what face reading was all about, actually. Was about learning how to diagnose and predict. There's a very, very strong predictive aspect to fake tweeting. But the other part was knowing that certain things have to happen in your life for you to become the person you're destined to be. Right. And so one of the distinctions I often, and I got this from Joey Yap, was the distinction between destiny and fate. Destiny is something you choose. Fate is something that you can't do anything about. It's going to happen, and you're just going to have to choose your destiny based on that. And so I think one of the things that I get from, you know, as I was listening to you talk, Pedro, about, and I couldn't help but you know, go over my math journey and listening to Brian and how we all have a very similar experience. The one thing that kept popping up was we all found another way. We all adapted. We all changed because of that one impasse that we kept running into, and we found a workaround. We found an alternate way to become the person that we were going to be. Now, could we have become that person without the math block? Maybe, maybe not. But the universe had made a decision for us, right? Could we have spent a ridiculous amount of time and energy to be mediocre at something? Well, if we're OCD or CDO, depending on who you talk to, right? maybe. But something in us said, this is, you know, I've learned as much in this direction that I can, and it's time to go somewhere else. In spite of what, and again, our parents, they have a vision of us. Sometimes the people that love us the most, unfortunately, are the ones who do the most damage, you know, and a parent can't teach you what they don't know. You know, it's easy to blame parents. You didn't love me enough. I don't know how to be, I don't know how to give love. I don't know how to accept love. Well, if a parent doesn't know how to love themselves, how can they teach you? To use that as an example, right? So again, a lot of what we're doing is finding the things that bring joy and make our hearts sing. But the other part is revisiting the shit that went wrong, revisiting the shit that made us feel bad. And in the true alchemical sense, turning those base experiences into gold. And in that process, we come away with, I couldn't have learned that. It sucked when I was going through it.
Yeah.
Hated it. I railed against God, the universe, and everything. But now I'm on the other side of it, and I'm like, fuck. I got something from that, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of, you know, what it is. I found out really, really quick that I could always figure a way, you know, from my personal experience. Like, I don't know if this was available when you were going through school, but there's these things called CLEP tests.
I don't remember that one.
I often tell people that when I graduated from undergrad with a 4.0. Nice. And if anybody's ever heard me say that, and I just said I struggled to get a B, you know, how does that work, David? It's very simple. It's called a CLEP test. See, a CLEP test is where you test out of a class and it's pass fail.
Mm.
There's no grade. Okay. So it doesn't actually impact your GPA. And you can take the CLEP as many times as you want.
This guy's smart.
Right? Yeah.
There's always a way.
More unlocks.
Yeah.
Right? There's always a way. But if you get locked into it's got to be this way, this is the only way, then you become spiritually blind. You demand the world be a certain way instead of you changing yourself to create the outcome. And that's really, you got most of you know, I'm a strong, long, lot of years in Kabbalah. Right? A lot of years in Hermetics. One of the biggest epiphanies I ever got in the first few years of studying Kabbalah was about manifesting anything you wanted. But they got it wrong. But most people who studied it got it wrong. Because it's not about changing reality. It's about changing you to be the person that can have that reality.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I learned from Lillian, is that everything about our face is a holy one. Everything about our face is vibrational energy refracted through emotional densities, or vibrational densities, which is why we look the way we look and why faces change when you transform your emotional shit. The vibration changes, the angle of refraction changes, it's optics 101. Mm-hmm. That's why the face changes. That's why your reality changes, because the vibrational data you're filtering through it is being processed differently through a different system. And so, the whole idea is the more we change ourselves, the more we become comfortable changing and modifying what we do to find our way, the more we learn about ourselves and the more the universe conforms to our basic reality. And so there's this little interweave between what we believe and what we don't, and then what we, you know, what we get attached to. Isn't that a big word that we kind of bandy about, this attachment to things?
Yeah.
Right. And but it's one of the things that taught most of us was how to find another way.
Yeah.
It's almost never comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's almost always worthwhile.
Yeah. The change is uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
It is.
The change, you know, and we all go through them all the time.
Oh. And that's the big, that's the kind of the catch 22 is, you know, any fast food metaphysical guru out there says, it's fast, it's easy, it's painless. Take this pill, read this book. No, that's a dopamine rush, right? You know, you got to do the work and you've got to stick through it. That's one of the things I'm teaching my daughter right now. You know, she's fighting the math demon. Right. And my wife being the amazingly driven being that she is, my wife is the most driven person I've ever met. All right. I just got to tell you that. First of all, she's Chinese, which tells you something right there. Second of all, she had a PhD in biochemistry before she went to chiropractic school and acupuncture school at the same time. She was valedictorian of her acupuncture class and her chiropractic class at the same time. All right. This is crazy. This is the woman overseeing my daughter's education.
So yeah, we're going to learn the algebra.
And her mom is worse, and they're both really good at math.
Oh, wow.
You know, but my daughter is going through a lot of crap right now because she's got her dad's genes and her dad pushes back on anything that's imposed on her, right? Yeah. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. She inherited a double dose of stubbornness from her, her mom and me. And so it's like a whip and a chair every time we try to do algebra. It's insane. But in the long term, when she looks back on it, that's where the true growth, I think, will come. When she looks back on those moments and sees a lesson she couldn't have learned any other way. Not the math part, because I don't think it's really about the math for her. Mm-mm. I think it's about learning to recognize that there are some things you just got to do. And you've got to be relentless with it, even if you suck, right? We call the in Golden Path and face reading, we talk about this thing called the long dark nights of the soul. And part of your golden path, and let me be very, very clear. When you're getting on your golden path doesn't mean you're going to have a problem-free life. In fact, it's going to be pretty intense, right? But it'll be intense in both good ways and not so good ways. And all that's really necessary is to survive those dark nights of the soul. And as you emerge on the other side, you will go through a growth and transformation process that you couldn't have gotten. And a lot of times, talk about these in Golden Path, you get these little vertical, these little diagonal lines that start to pop up. We call those transformation lines. And when you see people with these diagonal lines that kind of go up, what you're seeing in somebody's face is somebody who's gone through one of these critical transitions or long dark nights of the soul. And they came out with an understanding of an epiphany about themselves that was transformational, that changed them in a fundamental positive way that they can't forget or give up. And golden paths are full of those. But at the same time, there's a fulfillment and an integration that these things bring to us that let us know, hey, we're doing what we came here to do, and nothing feels better. You know, and there's definitely a way to figure out what's in alignment with your golden path and what isn't based on your body feelings.
Awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to learn that, just because I feel like lately I've had 100 golden paths. You know, I'm doing comedy, I'm doing meditation, I'm doing hypnosis, I'm doing, like, it's nuts, like, what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay. Like, I feel like I'm spinning in circles sometimes.
Well, I'm just doing things. What all these things have in common?
Like entertainment, fun, helping people actually.
Yeah. They involve you getting up in front of a group of people or a person and giving them a transformation, giving them an experience, right? Mm. You're an agent of transformation. That's why you wound up in our orbit for, you know, it was,
yes.
You came in for yourself. Mm-hmm. As you started clearing out your own stuff, all of a sudden your heart opens up and now you realize, wait a minute, I can help other people with this. I can, and that feeling you get coming back to you when you do it, you can't describe it, right?
No.
Because you're change it, like so many of the people who come through Planet David. And that's how it's supposed to be. The golden path is about becoming you, following your joy, your love, your passions, your pleasures, regardless of how diverse they may be, because at some point they're going to come together. I guarantee you tell the joke in your yoga class. I guarantee you do hypnotherapy in your yoga class.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you that every now and then a joke tip slips into your hypnotherapy or some yogic technique slips into your hypnotherapy, right? They cross-pollinate and they come together in a way that is uniquely Bryant.
Yes. I've had to tone down the hypnotherapy in my meditations and yoga classes. Okay. Like I've had too many people come up afterwards like, I don't know what happened.
I hate when that happens.
But, yeah, okay, like, we'll have to talk. We'll have to talk for a little bit.
So, you know, but that's how it works. You know, like I said, nothing is wasted. And even though you have all these different things that seem from a, you know, the meta perspective, or even what, you know, for the forest for the trees kind of a scenario, they don't seem to be related. Mm-hmm. But at some point they all click. They all just fall into place and you have this, oh my God.
Yeah, man. That's so good, David. And it makes me reflect, Brian, what you were just saying about, or and David too, about you're telling a joke in your yoga class, you know, because there's plenty of yoga teachers that aren't, they're not saying any of that stuff. Like they're not saying a joke or whatever. And I say random shit all the time. Like if I stumble on some words, I'll just make light of it. And then I'll just make it all the students aware, like, hey, you know, sometimes the, you know, a little bit of lightness goes a long way, you know, not taking it so serious all the time, which I've learned from Brian. I've borrowed that, Brian. Thank you. And all of that is, it's part of this energy of like everything in life doesn't have to be so rigid, and everything in life can be, let's call it moldable or water. It can be fluid, right? So we can shift from one direction to another at any time. And I think that's what Dave is really harping on here, is that, you know, there's not just one way, like everyone's path is different. And if you're out there and you're struggling and trying to figure out your path and you're doing all these different things, because Brian and I do 5,000 different things at one time, but it all somehow, David, you really just made my heart sing. Like, you're right, man. Like it's all coming together. Just keep going. Just keep going on the path.
Just do you, because you're the only one you can.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing that we, you know, we're indoctrinated into this, pick one thing, stick to it. And some people can do that. But here's the thing you need to understand about a lot of people on a golden path. You have a lot of talents. Talents you know about, and talents that you got from your ancestors that are buried in your face, and on your, and you'll learn about this in Golden Path, Brian. We'll talk about, you have, you know, you're here, your parent, your father's here, your mother's here, your grandparents, your great parents. It's all the way back, and you can read where on the forehead. They call it the Palace of Inheritance, by the way. You can read back a ridiculous amount of generations where there are talents buried in your genetic code from your ancestors, that part of your mission in this life is to unlock those and use them. It's crazy what the Chinese were able to map out over the course of several thousand years, you know, and how consistent it is. But the truth is that most people have a lot of talents. Mm-hmm. It's harder for people with a lot of, who are good at a lot of things on a golden path, than it's somebody who's going to be good at one. Right? But the idea is, again, regardless of whether your Ming is large, you know, or it's relatively small in comparison, all Mings are important and everybody needs to get on it to live their best life.
Yeah.
And people are, and the biggest amounts of pushback you're going to get are from established systems and societies that say this is what's best for you. And it is. Yeah. You have to be aware of that.
And I like what you're saying about like the feeling, like if you're feeling like a certain way, like you're on your path. I've been doing like a lot of journaling lately, and I looked at like my YouTube history, and I've watched probably like, I think it was over 1,000 self-help YouTube videos. And like, then I've taken like four, I'm going to be taking like a fourth in person training. And then I do your online trainings too. So it's like nonstop knowledge, nonstop information. And it was like something recently, I rewatched your CPI class, and it's like, yeah, It was the fortune cookie thing that you said, like, knowledge without doing is not having knowledge. Or, and I was like, oh shit. Like, that is exactly what I needed to hear. Cause I'm like learning all this stuff, doing all this stuff. I'm being spun in so many different directions on like, oh, I have to find a niche. I have to do like one thing. I have to do this. And you have like so many different people saying certain things. It's like, well, how am I feeling? You know, like where's my feelings telling me to go?
It's your feelings that guide you. This is the big, you know, again, and you're going to see that, you're going to see us coming back to this same concept over and over and over again, but just from a different perspective, whether it's NLP, whether it's hypnotherapy, whether it's vibrational, you know, influence, Reiki, or even face reading. Everything human beings do is in response to a feeling. The feeling is one of the strong, is one of the highest divine attributes that you have. If you look at the Kabbalah and things like that, they talk about will, intellect, feeling, consciousness is actually what the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is actually part of the aspects that it relates to. So what is the one thing that's consistent from the divine all the way down? Feeling. Mm. And when we look at the golden path and we look at what you should be doing versus what you shouldn't be doing, what causes your heart to sing? Just thinking about it. If it makes your heart sing, it's part of your golden path. You need to be doing it. And if there was something that did that you stopped doing, you need to reclaim it. You must, that's part of your Ming. You must reclaim that, right? Now, there will be things that you're just not drawn to do, period, right? They're probably not relevant to you. There'll be things that you think you should know, you should want to do, but for some reason you can't pull the trigger because it's just not, you don't have that hunger for it yet. It's a nice to know, but it's not a strong enough to know. Just chill out, put it on a shelf. You'll get to it. I have books that I've been sitting on my shelf for 5 years. I still haven't read. And one day I just opened it up, flipped to a random page, and boom, there's the next download. Yeah. It's just, if you see, and again, those of you who come out, I just rented a three bathroom house out here. I call it the NLP Powerhouse. And we're going to be doing like platinum level, like get togethers and stuff like that. Maybe
so a little cool. Bit.
I'll show you guys my garage sized library that is overflowing. Right. Just to give you an understanding that this is what I do 24/7 is I'm just constantly on this search to be more effective and get the things I want. But circling back, this idea of, you know, things that just don't resonate with you, right? This idea of polarity towards and away from. Now there will also be things that the thought of doing them, like, oh, that would be so cool to do that. But when you go to do it, fear comes up. Right? Which is different than apathy. Understand? When there's a fear, there's a polarity there. Now, the things that you fantasize about doing, but you're afraid to do, those are the things you need to do.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Those are the things I'm saying, the greatest transformation for me is beyond this barrier. Right? So you need to make a very strong distinction between something that has no polarity toward for you at all versus something that has you a strong pot towards or a strong towards with a fear factor or away from, if that makes any kind of sense. Mm-hmm. And I tell my students, and Brian has heard me say this, you need to run as enthusiastically and aggressively towards the things that make you want to run away as you do towards the things you love and are passionate about. It's very easy for an average robotically conscious human being to run towards the things they love and away from the things that they're afraid of. That's any human being, that's any animal on the planet. We came here to be more than just an animal. We came here to be self-actualizing spiritual beings, which means we have to take a different perspective. We have to understand the polarity of feelings from a meta perspective so we can make a better decision, right? And so one of the things that helped me early on going back to this whole feeling concept was towards and away from versus nothing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I talk about it all the time. I've talked about it before and you reaffirmed it. You know, it's like, if something scares the shit out of you, but you think you want to do it, but aren't sure, you should lean the fuck in hard, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because it's apathetic or because it just doesn't lead to like,
Yeah. Then
probably not on your, probably not part of you.
Sure. Sure. And I think about all the time when you're talking about the feeling state, you know, it's like, I want to know, David, because I'm sure you have infinite wisdom and
wouldn't go there.
Yeah. you know, someone out there that's just feeling stuck, like they're just feeling stuck, you know, they've been at their job for 5 years. Like the promotion ladder is like kind of maybe topped out. Like they're not probably going anywhere, but it's like, it's comfortable, but it's like, I don't want to look for another job. And I'm just kind of the robotic of life. But there, you know, there is something else. They need a little push, or they need to lean in to do it, but they can't get themselves to do it. What do we say to that? What do we say to that person?
What lights you up? At the end of the day, it's going to be a very simple equation. What are the things you would pay to do? Those are probably the things you should be doing for money. If we're talking about a job, remember, GoldenPath is much more expansive.
Sure. Yeah, I was just talking about job for reference. Yeah.
That job may be providing the level of revenue and resources to do all the other things that light you up. Mm. And everything is temporary. So that job, while it's, you know, providing resources for you to get to a certain level, when you're ready to take that next plunge, you may be fated to have that job evaporate, to force you out of that comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And all of it always tell us that there's two ways. There's nobody changes except with pressure. You either have pressure from the universe or pressure from yourself. Pressure from yourself is better.
Yes.
You know, but we often default. We just want to, because again, we get into these comfort zones. We get complacent. It's like, things are good enough, right?
Mm, yeah.
When you're dealing with hypnotherapy clients or medical clients, some of the hardest things to do is get people fully resolved, because like, for use a medical doctor's example, you know, you come down with a bug, like a bacteria or a virus or whatever. And they say, okay, you need to take these antibiotics three times a day for 12 days. By the end of the seventh day, your symptoms are gone. You think you're done, right? You stop the drugs, comes back worse. Why? Because you got to the good enough part, right? You stopped feeling uncomfortable. It was good enough, so you thought you were done, right? And every human being has this mechanism inside of us that makes us want to get comfortable, and nothing, and the system won't take action until things become uncomfortable enough. But there's a barrier there, right? If this is the zone of uncomfort, right, and this is that threshold, right, well, we would want you to get all the way to here before you stop, which would be complete, but we don't. The minute we get here, it's good enough. Action is off. So we have to look at our own propulsion systems, and we have to tap in to our own emotional reasons for the things we do. In NLP, we would call this a criterion values elicitation. In the CPI system, we would call this your emotional motivation checklist. What are the fundamental building blocks of what you believe is right and desirable in the world? And what are your reasons, emotional reasons, for wanting to do that particular activity? And there's always ways to uncover that. Probably we'll probably actually in Golden Path, we'll probably even talk about those things again. Same tools. And this is one of the things that keeps coming up, and Brian will starting to see this. It's, you know, the context changes, but the tools remain the same. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we can talk about emotional bonding for sales. We can talk about emotional bonding for dating and attraction. What about finding a soulmate? Well, we did exactly that in the last Soulmate Secrets class that we did, except we applied that whole emotional bonding checklist to your life. And people came away from that Soulmates class with so much clarity on their life and what was important to them and why it was important to them. They started manifesting things like this. It had nothing to do with soulmates, right? Because they never bothered to ask those questions about their life. Mm-hmm. Same tool, different target. Right. And yes. So a lot of the things that we've developed in our, in Planet David, as we like to call it, same tools, different target. Right. I love to call it the Swiss Army knife of influence and persuasion or power. Right. And so the idea here is, what lights you up? That's the first thing. It doesn't matter why. You know, we get so hung up in the whys of why we want to do something. I did martial arts for decades just because it was fucking cool. Right? Yeah. The idea of getting to kick somebody's ass, those are nice. That's cool. Right? Doing those high kicks and all that crap. Right? It was cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because those are the things that are going to get you off your ass. Mm-hmm. Society may poo-poo you. Your friends may say, that's why you want to do that. Right? How many people actually go to lose weight just because they want to look better naked? They don't give a shit about health. They don't give a shit about, you know,
so
own
crazy.
It. Own it. Because when you own it, you own it. And you might use it. But if you just try to come up with rationalizations that are acceptable to the people around you and try to convince you that other people's approval is what's getting it for you, you're going to be on a little bit of a treadmill or a little treadmill, so to speak. And so I think one of the things, you know, when you're going back to the concept of this guy who's in this job, he's comfortable, but he's kind of bored, he's kind of burnt out. He needs to step back and remember what it was like when he was a kid, full of hopes and dreams and aspirations. What did he love to do? What did he play at? What did he fantasize about being? And if those feelings come back that light him up, that's a clue. That's an indicator of a direction he needs to go to get on his golden path, or her on her golden path. The things that light you up and still light you up are the things you need to gain back. And you need to muster up the strength and the courage to make those changes. Now, some people, they do it in baby steps. Some people try to take, you know, they burn the bridge and they just go for it. Find your own way, right? So if you watch a lot of my early videos back when I was still wearing black, you knew how many times I was standing in front of a room of 20, 30, 40 people teaching something I had never done before. It would shock and disturb you, but that's what I needed to do. I needed to give myself a situation where I had to do or die. Right? I've never been, for me personally, I have never been a baby steps kind of person.
Me neither.
It's just never worked for me. Yeah. But other people can do that progressive, gradual approach, and that's okay. One of the biggest things about Golden Path that you'll learn, and about face reading in general, is that everybody's okay. You do you, right? As long as you're not interfering with me doing me, it's all good, babe. You know, but at the end of the day, follow that part of you that lights up, that makes your heart sing, right? And that's one of the things we're going to look for when we go through the pictures from the time you were knee high to a grasshopper all the way up to today. We're going to look for you for times in your life when more of your spirit was in your body. It's going to show in the photographs. You'll see the light, the eyes just pop out. You'll see the light from beneath the skin. You know, we'll look at baby pictures and we'll look at the shape of your forehead then versus now, and we'll say, okay, if I were to ask your dad or your mom, what were you really good at? What did you love to do as a kid? Right? Those talents are going to come out, and I guarantee you they'll be relevant to the things you're doing today.
So yes. Cool. I can't wait. I really can't wait. Yeah. And it's like most of the stuff that you teach and stuff I see, it's like really, you know, getting all that crappy programming out of your mind of like other people and the TV and like parents and what society's telling you. And it's like, yeah, what lights you up? Like what makes you happy? It's all about you, you know, it's all about.
It is. And that was the Taoist approach, in spite of the fact that it was primarily, you know, you look at the Chinese, it's all about the collective, not even pre-communist. It was the group was more important than the individual. But if you look at Taoism in general, it's all about the person. It's all about you doing you, finding your Tao. And that's another thing that I learned from Lillian, which really, really resonated with me. The original character for Tao was a face running a path. I'll show it to you on the PowerPoint.
I want to see it.
With like hair sticking up, showing connection to heaven, right next to the kanji for a path, right? And the whole idea was finding the Tao was not about a Tao. It was about your Tao, your way, finding your way to get back to your spiritual face, to become the embodiment of the spiritual being you were before you took on that body, and bringing that light into the world and becoming living your best life as a result of it.
Boom. Yeah, I saw a meme the other day and it was like so good. It was like just the neurology, like the brain, the eyes, and like all the nerves.
Yep.
And it said something like, we're just, you know, a bag of flesh. Like this is really what just controls us, like this nervous system. And it just made me think, it's like, wow, it's like, that's what we're really communicating to. It's like that nervous system and that body. So it was just really cool.
The body is, you know, again, one of the things that I love, and I really, really do love the Taoist systems a lot was because of their veneration for the body, as opposed to like a lot of the Buddhist systems, which kind of said, it's just a bag of bones, you get a new one. I think the body can teach us an awful lot about the spirit and vice versa, you know? And I think that this is the vehicle you chose to fulfill your name. And so I think it's important to love that body, right? Without becoming a slave to it, if that makes any kind of sense. Because again, the body has a reptilian brain and we're trying to transcend that, but you can't transcend the reptile by vilifying the reptile. You transcend the reptile by integrating and educating the reptile.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All about oneness, about wholeness, yoga, right? Union, right? The concept never changes. It doesn't matter what the discipline.
Yeah.
Dude, absolutely.
It's so good, David. I learned a lot on this episode of the show, y'all. I learned a lot. You know, when I hopped on and David and Brian were jamming and they paused and they acknowledged that I had arrived, I said, you know, I'll just be here out in the audience, like, because I'm just soaking up all this information. And, you know, I think that the listener out there has certainly gotten a good grasp on these concepts that you've shared with us about life and just transformation and how it really just comes from within and tapping into. You know, I had this conversation with my wife earlier talking about, you know, taking us back to our childhood, you know, taking us back. We were talking about, you know, blocks in setting boundaries. And maybe it's because like when you were a kid and if you didn't go do those damn dishes, you know, your dad was going to get after you, or your mom, or they were going to ground you or whatever. And so when your partner asked you, hey, can you do the dishes, and you don't really want to, well, shit, you do it anyway, because you don't want to think about, oh, if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble like I did when I was 4.5 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, and so this is just a cool synchronicity of that conversation I had earlier. And then, you know, all the things that we've jammed on have really been really impactful for me. So thank you for carving out the time and sharing your, you know, I'm going to say infinite wisdom again, even though we're not sure about it.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I'll give a little quick anecdote.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was a little kid, this was when I was going through my Bible phase, and I was reading the story of Solomon, when the angel of the Lord came down and asked Solomon, what do you want? We'll give you, you know, God will give you anything you want. And he asked for wisdom. And I'm sitting there with the book in my hand. I'm going, you know what? Good enough for Solomon. I said, God, grant me wisdom. What a fucking stupid thing to say. Because you know how you gain wisdom, right? This shit hits the fan.
You got trial and error.
Gain wisdom when shit goes south. When you're the best laid plan, as Mike Tyson used to say, everybody got a plan till they get hit. and so, you know, my life became extraordinarily turbulent. Now, I don't know if that was a direct result of me asking God for wisdom, but it sent my life in a direction where I ran head first over and over and over again into a problem I couldn't solve. And I became obsessed with figuring out a solution. And it was that obsession with finding the solutions to becoming more empowered, for lack of a better word, that led me to this stupid vest that I'm wearing.
I like the vest, man. Yeah, I like the vest.
Yeah.
But that's the point though, is that, you know, we want, you know, there's another, you know, I love quoting old cliches. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, the golden path is about learning and being and living and doing things. It's not just about pontificating. It's about getting out into the world and making your life everything that feeds your spirit, mm-hmm. and understanding the difference from what feeds your spirit and what other people say should feed your spirit.
Yep.
And so wisdom, I'll take it. Infinite, I'm a work in progress.
You're just allowing the universe to flow through you. So
you know what? The universe will teach you more about how to do this than anything that comes out of my mouth. You just got to pay fucking attention.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just seeing the signs. you know, just being aware of the signs, you know, that are around you. You know, I'm into a lot of numerology stuff. So when I see like 222 is a great example, you know, and I've been seeing it a lot lately as I'm, you know, constantly in creation mode and working on something. And then when I see that, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm right. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I know that if I keep putting in the work where I'm going, I'm on the right path, you know, just like looking for the signs, you know, yeah. And I think a lot of people aren't, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, cause I always like to speak from a place of I, but I know that when I am in tune with the things that I want to be doing, I'm able to see more of those signs. I'm able to see them, you know?
Absolutely true. 100%. And it'll always be there, right? Because as you get on that golden path, your consciousness is going to expand. Mm-hmm. Consciousness becomes perception and things that, again, your reticular for, to get all, biological and physiological, your reticular activating system will recalibrate to things that and give it different meanings than that lower state of consciousness would have given it. And that's the important thing, is when the little thing Lillian always stressed was trust yourself.
Trust yourself.
Trust your intuition. Trust your gut. Trust that there's a wisdom guiding you. And you know, and a lot of times it's going to be counterintuitive to what other people want from you or whatever. But sometimes there's something you couldn't have gotten any other way. Universe is not linear. We keep trying to force linearity on it, and it's an illusion. Just be. Golden path isn't a destination. It's a path. It's a process. There's always going to be another bend in the road, another hill to climb. But each one is progressively more fulfilling than the one before it. And nothing is wasted.
Yes. I'm inspired to just trust my intuition more now after talking with you and just do what lights me up, because it just seems so simple, yet it's so difficult, you know, because
yeah, it's not easy, my friend.
Cause you can really feel like what you feel and like what lights you up and the intuition. It's like, we all feel that, but it's like actually taking the action and being like, my intuition says this, but like my family or society wants me to do that. And it's like, it's tough.
It is tough. Again, if it were easy, everybody would be on it.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah. Man. No doubt. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like everybody out there is now at least a little bit more aware that the possibilities really are infinite. You know, it's just that if you're open to walking that path, you know, and open to the transformation that can be for you. Everybody has to, in my opinion, you know, everybody has the opportunity to seek an alternative path or the golden path or to walk something new, but you have to be willing to leave, you know, that comfort zone in order to figure it out. And that's where shit gets uncomfortable. You know, I love the spiritual meme. That's like, oh, I left, you know, I went down the rabbit hole of consciousness, you know, and now I'm here with, you know, cheers to having no friends and like losing my shit all the time, because it's just a constant peeling back of the onion and uncovering the layers of shit that you've gone through that have led you to this point. And then the only, you know, the swing comes back up, and you have to just, you got to ride the, you know, just go through the lows and just ride the highs when you get up there. And this has inspired me just to once again, this is like another affirmation from the universe, David, just like, hey, you're on the right path. Keep it going.
Everything happens for a reason. Nothing is random.
Nothing. Definitely.
Let me, you know, I know we're getting ready to close, but maybe leave the viewers with this. It may be both inspiring and terrifying at the same time. Transformation is inevitable. You can't avoid it. You get to decide how rapidly you move through the curve, right? You know, if you follow the golden path, again, using that as a metaphor, you follow the golden path, you'll move through the processes faster. If you avoid the golden path, you're still going to get there. It's just going to take longer, and there's probably a lot more suffering along the way.
Yeah. Well, David.
Mic drop.
Yeah. We'll cut it there, Brian. Cut it there.
David, thanks. Cut. Yeah. Thank you.
You're David, welcome. Thanks for being on the show, man. That was super, super powerful. Thank you, man. Thank you. And Brian, thank you for bringing David back on and doing all your work, Brian, and in order to co-create this magical experience for the listeners, for our whole audience, and thank you.
Yeah. I love having David on, and go take his training, take his course. Go to davidsnydernlp.com, right? Is that the website? Boom.
We'll put it in the notes.
I know you changed it. Yeah, we'll put it in the notes. Go there, take your training. It's life changing. I talk about it all the time. And I'm so glad we have you here, David.
Brian, thank you so much. God bless. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, bro.
See you soon.